In one of the songs that we sang, Soliloquy in Prayer, the Lord said, Father, save me from this hour. The Lord also said when he's on the cross, why have you forsaken me? And that was a good lead into the subject this morning, because Jesus, although he was suffering and had to suffer, he was in the pain, in the throngs of death. But Jesus also knew that he had what? He had a hope. He knew that God the Father was going to raise him, but did that change the fact that he had to go through pain? Didn't change it, did it? So the lesson this morning is the ray of hope. You know, we talk often, you know, you ask somebody, you know, how's it going? They have a problem going on or whatever. And he's telling me, turn my microphone on. I do follow orders. Good? Okay. All right. So in life, we could say to someone, you know, we might ask them a question, and they say, well, you know, we have this problem going on, whatever the problem could be. But then they might come back and say, but there's a ray of hope. You know, we look at the sunshine and we see the rays from the sun come down. But just think of just one little ray. And if we have just a ray of hope, then we see what? It can keep us alive because of hope. Hope realized is no longer hope. So now we look at the question. I want to go over the passage again that was read in your hearing this morning. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, those who may not be a Christian, I want you to think about this big word, hope. Do you have hope? Or do you see yourself dying, being buried, and that's it? But that's not it. There will be a judgment to come. And we need to internalize that fact that we will face judgment, no matter what we believe today, no matter what we think, we will face judgment. I'm absolutely convinced of that. The Bible teaches it. Think about it. Have you ever had any trials? That's almost a joke, isn't it? All of us have had trials. We're here. Where would the world be had there not been sin in the beginning? We don't have a clue how it would have been. But we could only think that maybe, just maybe, everything would be fun. But somewhere along the line, I'm sure someone, somewhere, would have broken God's laws. Think you'll have any more trials in this life? Can something happen suddenly that changes your day? When my mother was killed in 1993, it changed my day, it changed my life, just like that. It was over. Like snuffing a candle, like turning off a light switch. So sorrow and suffering affect us all, but what really is the driving factor that needs, that we need to have, and that needs to help us get through any trial. It's that ray of hope. So what I'm asking you to do today is to look at the end. Think about the end. It's a lot closer for me than it is for many others here. And I reflect on that more often than I used to, I can tell you that for sure. But the end will come. We don't know. It could be tonight. It could be an hour from now. We just don't know when that end could come. But as we listen, let's think about that end. How do we rejoice when we suffer? Big question. The point of that is, if we always reflect on our final salvation, which is being home with God because we obeyed before, you see, if we really reflect on that, it should and can and will help us get to that point. That's what it's about, is our hope. That's why we're here, because of our hope. And if you don't come and be with the brethren, be together with others, your hope will fade. It's as simple as that. That's why the import. Paul spoke of the difficulties Christians might have to encounter. But let's see what he said in Romans 8:37. This is from the New King James. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We will have difficulties, but hope sees us through. More than conquerors. You ever think to yourself, well, I conquered that? You ever been tempted, really tempted, but you win? And you say, you know, I'm not going to succumb to that. I conquered it. So you see what Paul's saying here. We're more than conquerors. How? Through Christ. That's how we conquer. A Christian, we must always have hope in the fore of our life, the vanguard. Vanguard means the lead. That's what that word means, right? We're in the vanguard. Hope should always be out there like that, kind of hanging around all the time. So when we have a problem over here, we don't forget that hope. How do we do that? How do we do it? We do it through paying attention to God's Word and paying attention to the encouragement that we can get from others. That's how we do it. If you're not reflecting on God's Word as a routine matter, chances are it won't be in the lead. How do you put it in the lead? Pay attention. Look at God's Word. Look at what it says. Look at what the end can bring. Hope of eternal life. That's a big deal. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I'm reading this one from the English Standard Version. Verses 14 to 19. Now, you know, Paul, in the most rhetorical way, is basically setting the church there up, you know. He said, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. You have to think about all those little words, right? You really have to think about that. For if the dead are not raised, Not even Christ has been raised. Christ was crucified. We knew he was dead. We know he was dead. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. There's no hope. You see that? You're still in your sins. God never had a plan of redemption. Christ wasn't raised from the dead. So what are you doing? What is Christianity at that point? You see, Paul is really setting him up. He was so logical and deep, of course. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're dead, like Little Red Rover. No resurrection of the dead to look forward to. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. You see that? If we only have hope in this life, and that's my point that I tried to make near the beginning there. If you're not a Christian, reflect on that, what that says. If you only have hope in this life, we're of all people most pitied. So then you put a wall at the end of your life and you say, well, when I die, it's over. Who wants to think that way, really? I know a lot of guys, people that think that way. What was the saying, Little Red Rover, you're dead all over? You're buried and it's over. But our hope is real. And I think that in understanding our hope to be real, if we have the conviction, we never want our hope to be taken away from us. And so don't let it. We don't want to let someone rob us of our hope. Can that happen? Surely it can happen. How does it happen? By not paying attention. By not doing what we should do. To be in touch with God's Word. Not depending on people like are here today, on their help. I think that we have the ability to rejoice in life because of our hope. We sing the song, I'm happy today. Oh yes, I'm happy today. Why are we happy? Because we have the Lord. Because we have His grace as a Christian and have the ability to always be in His grace as a result of that, thereby depending on Him for forgiveness when we look to Him in prayer for our future. And then the end comes. And then eternity, forever and ever. It's hard to comprehend ever and ever, for sure. Okay, now let's look at Paul again in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10, the English Standard Version. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. See that? We're afflicted, but we're not down and out. We're not finished. Right? We're perplexed. Why? You know, why is this happening? Why does this happen? But we're not driven to despair. Why? Because of the hope that's out there. Always reflect on that hope, see? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You know, I was thinking, and I put it down here, if we did not have Christ, or if we don't have Christ, we do have days when darkness would be too dark. Pain is too painful. to even pretend that life is worth living. So how do you make life worth living? You make life worth living by being a Christian, following the life of a Christian. Then it's worth living. It's hard to describe to people what it means to be a Christian if they're not. What it means to be in Christ if they're not. One of the things, you know, when I spoke here a couple of weeks ago, one of the examples that I failed to illustrate, which was a good one, when I was up in Minnesota not long, and just before I went to Duluth, Minnesota, there was a young Laotian guy, Lee Vu was his name. Great kid. I don't know if he was a nice person, going to be deported. I don't think so. But I had taught Lee for a while. But then it came my time, 4 o'clock in the morning, they knocked on the door, and they said, "Finney, time to go." So I went, as I was walking out, I spotted Lee Vu's door, and I pounded on his door. And he looked, he was asleep, he looked up, he said, "Oh, Mr. Joe." I said, "Lee, I got to go do the right thing," because I had been teaching. 2 years later, I get a letter from Cherry Hall Trimble. You'll see her here in a couple of weeks. I get a letter from Cherry Trimble. "Joe, I got a letter from a guy named Lee Vu. Do you remember him?" I said, "Well, yeah, I remember him." She said, "He wanted you to know that he did the right thing." 2 years later, he obeyed the gospel. You see that? Lee lives in hope. Great kid. He's out now free. I don't know where he is. We're going to try to find out where he is. But there's another one that has hope, you see, in Christ. We see that barrier that we have to cross. That barrier of obedience, you see? Why are we so stubborn sometimes? And not have the obedience or perform the obedience that we... Why is it? We're people, right? You know, I've been stubborn. I know stubborn people. And we don't do what we need to do sometimes because we just don't know. Why do I need to do it? You know, what's the big deal here? Well, now we're playing with fire, right? Literally. Okay, here's another question for us. Can we give hope? Can I give hope to Philip? How do I give hope as a Christian? You know, this congregation moving forward now. And Denny Meyer's going to Kansas City, and he's going to be giving them a lot of hope. Trust me, he will. I know those people because my brother lived there for 25, 30 years. Good people. So they're looking forward to more hope. You see, well, how can I give hope to Mike Smith? By being encouraging. By showing Mike that I have courage, you see. That's how we pass on hope. We don't pass on hope by sharing our fears. You see? "Well, I got this problem." "What's your problem?" "Oh, man. You won't believe what's happening." Then you go home. You know, I'll share something real funny with you. My dad used to say that my mother's name was Mary Louise Southern, right? And we lived in New Jersey, and Mom and Dad would go to bed, and Dad said, "Yeah, Joe," he said, "your mother, last night your mother, she laid in bed, and she said, 'Oh, I sure am worried about Joe over there in Vietnam. James, what are we gonna do, you know, with Tim? And what about Mark? Mark is so stubborn. What can we do about all this?" And Dad said, "Mom rolled over and went to sleep because she had unloaded all of her problems on him." And Dad said, I'm laying there wide awake now. Right? There you go. So you see the point? The point is, how can we be encouraging? That's not to say we don't share our burdens. That isn't the point there. Now, look at Paul thanking the Thessalonian church for their steadfastness of hope. You see, Paul now, of all people, did he have hope? Of course. ESV, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. How often do you pray for the church here? How often do you pray for each other? I want you to reflect on that too, okay? Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's thanking them for their steadfastness of hope. It was encouraging him. We give thanks to God for that, you see, their steadfastness of hope. We're talking in the Acts class about being together, one accord, and all that. Hope has to be alive in our hearts, in our togetherness. It doesn't hurt to discuss it. Yesterday, there were a few men of us who met at a place to eat yesterday morning for breakfast. We were trying to do that. And I can't tell you how encouraging it was, really. What are you talking about? You're not talking about anything necessary in particular. But guess what? I know Doug Thorborn just a little bit better. I know Michael Roberts a little bit better. I know my nephew Doug here a little bit better. Just a little bit. But now you do that often, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes to that breakfast and says, you know, fellas, I really have a problem here. What's your problem? And they share, you know, I'm having terrible problems with my peers at work. That's not an unlikely thing. But there that person is feeling comfortable because we're in there in one accord, we're together, feels comfortable in discussing that problem for what purpose? To get encouragement, you see, to get help. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Verse 25 is known by all of us. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as a habit of some is. Let's go back to 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. See that? Steadfastness is steady as she goes. Don't move to the left. Don't move to the right. Steady. We're marching in the military, you know. You didn't make a mistake. You were all in unison, straight ahead. And that's the idea, see. Keeping in line. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What we're hearing is God is faithful. Where is our faithfulness? You see? God's faithful. So because God is faithful to us, don't you be unfaithful, you see. Hold steady. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's what we're trying to do. Stir each other up. Motivation. Let's go do it, you see. Love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Don't share our fears, share our courage. It's great to have our hope, but you know, folks, it's greater to give our hope, to give hope to people who may not have it. That's why we teach the gospel. That's why we need to be teaching. We want to give our friend, hope. We want them to internalize hope like we do and like we should do. Last night, I received a phone call from Brett Thielen. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago. He calls me every once in a while. Said, "Joe, I just got to hear your voice." He was the Catholic man previously that I taught up in Minnesota. And Brett called and, "How you doing, Joe?" He was on his car phone and speaker phone. It was distant and all that. And near the end of the call, he said, "Hey, Joe," and he's the one I told you lost his wife and two of his kids because of what happened to him, and now because he's in Christ, don't like it. You see? He said, "Guess what, Joe," as he hung up, "we're one day closer to heaven." Now, there's a man who sees his hope. I'm telling you, that did me a lot of good last night. I'm one day closer. We are one day closer to heaven. Let's look at hope that way. That we're one day closer. Because you are. We are. Might be closer than we realize, you see. So I think, all in all, the ray of hope, if you will, is the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Our hope that we deal with from time to time when we go through a problem. We say, "You know, I really hope it's going to be resolved pretty soon." We use that word very often. And we need to think in our use of that word how we should reflect on that word with regard to our eternity. My dad, when I was going through all my problems, and I'm ready to close here, when we found out that the money had all been stolen back in 2010, my brother called my father, and he said, "Dad, would you rather know the truth now that the money's gone, or would you rather still have hope that it's out there?" Dad said, "Son, I'll take the hope." Think about that. We live on hope sometimes. We need to face reality too at times. The question today, therefore, is what is your reality of the macro hope, the hope for eternity? What is your reality? Where do you stand in that regard? Can you possibly come to grips with your own obedience? If you're not a Christian, can you do that? The water's prepared. You know, we see in Titus 3:5, by the washing of regeneration, become a new person. Then we have God's grace. God's grace will cleanse us through our faith. But then we have His grace to look to all along to get us to that eternal home. But without taking that step of obedience, we don't have that. We really don't. So things are prepared. Andrew's going to lead us in a song of invitation. So if you have a need, please come as we stand and sing.